Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I would now like to call the Sussex County Board of Adjustment meeting to order. Our first order of business for this evening will be the revised agenda as printed. Are there any additions or corrections at this time?
There are not, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Hearing none, do I have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
You have a motion by Mr. Workman and a second by Mr. Hudson that we approve this evening's revised agenda as printed. All those in favor of the motion, give the usual voting sign.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, motion carried. Next, we'll have the approval of the minutes of our last regular meeting.
So moved.
Second.
Have a motion by Mr. Mills and a second by Mr. Hudson that we approve the minutes of our last regular meeting. Again, all those in favor of the motion, give the usual voting sign.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, motion carried. Next, we'll have a motion for the approval of the finding of the facts of our March the 19th meeting and the April the 2nd meeting.
So moved.
Have a second to that motion?
Second.
Have a motion by Mr. Rickards, and a second by Mr. Workman that we approve the finding of the facts of the March the 19th and the April the 2nd meeting. All those in favor of the motion, give the usual voting sign.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, motion carried.
Mr. Sharp.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is the time and place for hearings before the Board of Adjustment. There are a number of public hearings this evening, and in order to proceed in an orderly fashion and ensure full participation by those present with an interest, hearings will be conducted subject to certain rules. All persons in attendance should conduct themselves in an orderly fashion and take directions from the chairman. Unruly or disorderly conduct will not be tolerated and may result from expulsion from the room. Each application will be announced. The applicant will be asked to come forward and be sworn in. The applicant will then present the case and explain the request and present any exhibits or testimony in support of the application. The burden is on the applicant to address the statutory factors for a variance or special use exception. The board may ask questions of the applicant and any of the witnesses. The board will then invite public comment. Supporters go first, followed by opponents. Please identify yourselves by name and place of residence for the record. All persons must be sworn in to speak. Please be concise with your statements and avoid being repetitive. The board may ask questions of supporters or opponents. If you have any questions for others, those questions must first be directed to the board, and the board then may direct the question to the appropriate individual. Once all testimony has been presented, the public hearing is closed, and the case may be voted upon, tabled, or taken under advisement for consideration at the end of the agenda. If you're here for a case list under old business, please understand that no new testimony or evidence will be taken. In addition, items listed under old business are considered after all of the new public hearings, and you're advised it may be late in the evening but when such matters come up. All board matters are discussed on and voted on openly in public session. All persons present may stay throughout the evening to view deliberations at the end of the agenda or to call the board's office in the morning for the result. In addition, you may view all of these proceedings live on the internet. For courtesy of those here this evening, if you have a cell phone or pager, we ask that you turn those off for the duration of the hearing.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First case, please.
Okay, first case. Case number 10,959, James R. Nichols, northeast of Road 273A, Bald Eagle Road, north of First Street, being lots 19 and 20 within Bay Vista Development, a variance from the rear and front yard setback requirements.
Good afternoon, board members. The applicant here is Mr. Jim Nichols.
Okay.
And I don't know if I'm the attorney representing him. My name is Barrett Edwards, and I'm with the law firm Hudson Jones, Jaywerk and Fisher. I don't know if you want to swear him in right now, and then we can begin.
If you would, please. We'd appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
Step down by Mr. Sharp.
Can you please state your name and address for the record?
James R. Nichols, 37437 First Street, Rehoboth Beach, Delaware, 19971.
Can you raise your right hand? You swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
I have a number of exhibits. May I approach and hand these
yes,
out?
Yes, please. You can start right down there, if you would, to the secretary, please. Thank you.
You just give them all to me. I'll pass them down.
Okay.
Okay, I still have the official copy here, which I'll enter into the record as soon as we have completed. And actually, I think I have one more.
I don't miss much.
Okay, so today we're here for two variances, one being, both being setback requirements, one being the setback for a pool and one being the setback for a deck. If you'll, we'll just jump right into the exhibits, because they'll explain a little bit of the background here. Exhibit A and Exhibit B are building permits which were issued for the pool and for the deck. And Exhibit C and Exhibit D are the certificate of compliance, which were issued again for the pool and for the deck. Both of these, one was certificate of compliance for the deck was issued in 2008. The certificate of compliance for the pool was issued in 2010. What has happened here is that Mr. Nichols is in the process of selling his property, has the property under contract. The purchasers went and got a survey, and in getting the survey, it came out that there was a setback violation with regards to the pool and regards to the deck. If you look at the next exhibit, would be Exhibit E, and Exhibit E explains a little better. You can see in the green in the front is the 15.73 feet. That's the distance from the property line to the stairs of the deck. And in the back, it's 5.3 feet and 5.53 feet. And so just to jump right into it, the first thing that in requesting this variance, it's required to request the minimal variance. And we've requested a one-foot variance for the setback in the back with regards to the pool. As you look at this, it's what would technically be required is a 0.97 foot setback variance on one side and then about a 0.47 on the other. The pool is not parallel with the property line. So we've requested a 1 foot variance just for practical purposes. It seems that that is the minimal required for this to be in compliance just because it'd be difficult to describe anything else. I mean, you're dealing with a diagonal line here. Now, in the front of the property, this deck, if you'll go to the first picture, there's a stack of pictures there. The first picture shows the deck, and if you look at the picture, you can see that this deck is at the same level with the doors for this first floor. And under the zoning code, if it's an uncovered deck level with the first floor, an additional 5 feet into the setback is permitted for a deck. So this property normally has a 30-foot front yard setback, but because this is in compliance with the zoning code in that respect, it's actually 25 feet that this can come into the setback. And so, again, going to the survey in green, 15.73 feet is what the distance is from the property line, and when we're dealing with a 25-foot setback, what variance we actually need is it ends up being about 9.3 feet. I think on our application we had said 11, but in truth, what is as we've looked at this more carefully, what we need is a 9.3 variance for the deck in the front. And so that would be the minimum that is required. There's some unique circumstances with just property making the variance necessary. First off, the narrowness and shallowness of the lot, as you'll see from the survey, this is a 50 by 105-foot lot. It's an incredibly small lot. And if you'll then go to the first four pictures, show the pool, and they show a fence. This is important because there's a fence that runs behind this property, and I've included pictures of the fence so you can see that this fence runs throughout the development. It doesn't make some unusual jog when it gets to this property. It's a fence running completely throughout the development, and when the survey was done, it turns out that the property line is actually about 3.12 feet short of the fence. Whenever this fence was constructed throughout the development, it wasn't built on the property line. And so when the pool, you can see on there, there's a tape measure showing that the pool is actually, in fact, about 8 feet from the fence. And as Mr. Nichols will testify in a second here, that when the individual measuring for the pool, they came out and they measured just right from the fence. A survey was done, and that was what the property line was presumed to be. Now, in the front of the property, if you go to the next set of pictures, there's two pictures of the driveway. There's unusual circumstances in the front of the driveway. On the back, they're labeled. This is picture K, exhibit K. You can see that there's a driveway, and then there's a flag showing about in the middle of the back, or right before the back tire of this truck. This is actually the property line. For whatever reason, the property line here is about in the middle of the driveway. And so going to the next picture, there's a tape measure extended 25 feet. And so if you actually measure from where the street and the driveway meet, if you come 25 feet, which would be the setback, it falls short of the steps. However, this is not the property line. And so until this was realized that this was not the property line, it would have been very easy to make a mistake like this. Now, one other item to mention, if you see on the survey, also behind this property doesn't directly abut the back properties. There's a 5-foot buffer strip here. And so, again, there's a little bit of give in between those. Now, Mr. Nichols, I'm going to ask him a few questions. And in recognition that, you know, there's certainly a long agenda tonight, I'm going to be going through this somewhat rapidly. Feel free to stop me if there's any questions. Otherwise, we can just take questions at the end, but we're just going to try to keep this moving. So, Mr. Nichols, what unnecessary hardship and exceptional practical difficulty exists with regard to the deck and the pool?
The hardship would be is that without the variances, I won't be able to sell the home. My job has changed. I've relocated to the Philadelphia area, and so in selling the home, which we're taking a loss on, we have to actually pay money at settlement. It's going to be impossible to sell the house. And estimates I have from my original pool contractor, if I had to move the pool a foot, would be, he said, at least $35,000. And another contractor who asked about removing the deck, which obviously would also change the value of the home, he said that would be in excess of $10,000 to just take that deck off.
All right. Now, when the pool was installed, can you just really briefly describe what happened as the pool installer was measuring?
Sure. I, in fact, had my own survey done to put flags on the property so that I would know exactly where the lines were, because I knew that the pool couldn't be, necessarily up against the property line. So my installer was very, very adamant and repetitive in measuring to make sure he wasn't going too close to the property line. Which gave me comfort thinking that, you know, when I had these flags placed from a surveyor, that we would be okay. And I wanted to make sure that I was staying in compliance with everything.
All right, wonderful. And at any time did you think that this was actually being installed partially in the setback?
Absolutely not.
Okay. Now, with regards to the pool, in what way do you think that this would alter the character of the neighborhood or property values in the surrounding area?
From personal opinion, I think it improves the neighborhood and the value of the house, and the surrounding neighbors have all been very supportive of us and all of the efforts we've made with our home, and I have letters from them. I think one was mailed directly to the board, and I have two more here with me.
I called this morning and confirmed that one was given to the board. I presume that'll be entered into the record. Then I have two more that I'll hand up.
Okay.
For the record, letters in support.
Right.
Now, with respect to the deck, how much would it cost to alter or move the deck?
The contractor told me it would be at least $10,000.
To remove the deck?
To remove it.
Okay. And when, what instructions had you given the contractor who was to install the deck with regards to where it should be located?
When I had originally had the contractor measure out for the deck, I said I would like something as big as possible, meaning that I wouldn't want it to go against any zoning requirements, but, you know, I didn't want a tiny deck, but I wanted it to kind of go to as much as he could. I have to assume that he also thought the street was where to measure from.
Okay. If you'll turn to the photos again, there's four more photos. one of which it looks like it's a picture of blossoms on a tree. Sure, that's not the primary intent. But you can see this is a picture that was taken from the deck, and you can see a blue edifice. This is a deck on a neighboring property which has been enclosed. And then it can't see it very well, but above the blue enclosure, there's the outline of another sunroom, which is the house down. And then if you turn to the next picture, you can see the enclosed deck sunrooms of the both houses. So two of the neighbors within the vicinity have decks that are, you know, somewhat similar in size, and they're actually enclosed. And then the following two pictures are pictures showing just down the street the general character of the neighborhood, showing that this deck is indeed in character with the neighborhood, wouldn't necessarily do anything to affect property values at all. Now, Mr. Chairman, we have the buyer's agent is here, and she's also willing to testify as to this not affecting the property values and the character of the neighborhood. Now, if you think this is necessary, we can have her come up and testify. If you think that the pictures and the testimony of Mr. Nichols is sufficient, then we don't need to take up any more time with unduly repetitive information.
Right. How's the members of the board feel? The pictures is sufficient in the presentation?
Would be for me.
Mr. Ron?
May it
is. Mr. Mills?
For that purpose, it's pictures sufficient.
Pictures would be fine.
Okay. Thank Wonderful. You, so really at this point, in conclusion, in just going with the statutory standards that we're required to prove, there is certainly an exceptional practical difficulty here. He can't sell his home without getting these variances or going to great extent and cost to remedy the pool and the deck. And again, he has mentioned that he's not going to be walking away from the settlement table with money here. He's actually having to bring money to the table in this instance. With regard to physical characteristics unique to this property, it's a shallow and narrow lot. There's a buffer in the back, and the street appearing to be a property line, the fence appearing to be a property line, these are unusual circumstances that the average individual going out is, you know, going to think are the property lines. And until this was known, it really wasn't possible to be installing these things in conformity because, again, everyone's going out assuming what the property line is. And as he mentioned, with regards to the pool, there was even a survey done showing that the property line abutted up to the fence.
Right.
The applicant, Mr. Nichols, did not create this hardship by any means. He thought everything was being done in compliance. And as I've entered into the record or will enter into the record, certificates of compliance were actually issued by Sussex County for both items, one in 2008 and one in 2010. And, you know, I think this is just a case where everybody was, I guess, deceived or mistaken with regards to how this would be now. As seen by the pictures and his testimony, this isn't going to, you know, we're not talking about a variance here, you know, to exceed a height limit or to make a building bigger. This isn't going to have a significant impact on the values of, I mean, it may actually help values, but it's certainly not going to have a negative impact on the character or the values. And again, we're just asking for the minimal variance. As I mentioned, that, you know, 1 foot in the back seems to be the minimal in light of the fact that the pool was parallel to the fence, not the property line, so it's a little cockeyed. And in the front, it's about a 9.3 variance is needed for the up to the steps of that. Now, I'll enter into the record. I'll hand up two letters of no objection that we received. As I mentioned, I called the planning department this morning. They indicated that the department had received a third letter of no objection, and perhaps most importantly is the fact that no letters were filed in opposition to this. And so if there's any questions, certainly be happy to answer any right now.
Okay. I thank you for that. All right, I'm going to call. Is there any questions from members of the board? Mr. Rickards.
Yes, he's done a good job. Approach the standards for granting a variance very well. I hope the rest of the audience hears that. I notice you have, this has turned over this property three times, hasn't it? I mean, we've had This is the third variance that we're going to have on the same property?
No, no. You know what? I apologize. I've also...
I was going to say, where does that come into play here?
I've also included in the back here, this is Exhibit R. I apologize. These are other variances which have been granted in the area for something similar.
I thought that's what you wanted to
say. Yeah, these are not... Okay. I apologize again. That was intended to...
That's correct. All right. I just wanted that clarified for the record that that is something.
Yes.
Well, having said that, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion that we grant...
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to ask some questions first.
Oh, go ahead.
Let me ask a question. Sure. That's okay. Mr. Workman, do you have any questions?
No, he did a good job doing the standards.
Okay. Mr. Hudson?
Yeah.
Mr. Mills?
Two questions. Mrs. Isaacs, these variances that they've submitted, is it that of the two that are next door, or are they nonconforming? Do you know?
I can check into that. I'm not positive, but I'll have that looked into.
Who? Question for the applicant. Who's the builder that built the deck?
Contractor, I think, from based in Lewis, his name is Dwayne Emmerich.
Emmerich? Okay. And do you have an address for them?
I don't anymore. It was quite a while ago that I worked with him. I haven't worked with him in a long time. I can probably find his phone number.
Do you think you might have records that you can... call and give us an address?
Sure. I think he's probably still listed in the phone book.
All right. That's all the questions I have.
Okay. Mr. Chuck?
Just one question, Mr. Nichols. You heard some testimony or presentation from Mr. Edwards. Attorney testimony is not considered testimony for the purposes of the record. Would you confirm or not confirm the testimony that Mr. Edwards provided on your behalf is your testimony and that you believe it to be true and correct?
Absolutely. Everything he said is absolutely correct and accurate.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Now, hearing no further questions, Chair will entertain a motion. Mr. Rivers.
I'd like to make a motion that we approve case number 10,959 for the following reasons. The property is unique due to the 50 by 105. Is that correct? That's what it is. Variance will enable reasonable use of the property. The difficulty was not created by the applicant. Planning and Zoning has issued COs for these additions. The variance, if granted, will not alter the character of the neighborhood, and the variance is a minimum variance to afford relief. And I think that's what Mr. Nichols has presented here tonight.
Oh.
The motion that we approved.
Yeah, but I got one thing to do first.
What's that?
Okay, I got a call for all in favor or all in opposition.
Okay.
So just hold that
good
moment then. Okay.
Yeah.
Are there any persons here that are in favor of this application? There's one. Okay. And do we have?
We did receive a letter, the office in favor of, and then there's two more.
So that's three letters in favor and one in the office.
And also, I would like to submit this into the record. Do I give that to you just formally? These are all the exhibits that I handed up.
All right, sir. Sure. And is there anyone here in opposition to this application? Chair, hearing none. I will entertain a motion. I have a motion by Mr.
I would make a motion that we take the case under advisement.
All right.
Okay, Mr. Rickards, you want to withdraw that?
Yes, I'll second.
And then I have a motion in by Mr. Mills that we take the case under advisement. Do I have a second to that motion?
Second.
Okay, I have a motion by Mr. Mills and seconded by Mr. Rickards Mr. Workman that will take case number 10,959 under advisement. Mr. Rickards, you vote? Yes. Mr. Workman?
Yes.
Mr. Mills?
Yes.
Yes.
And Mr. Callaway. So by a vote of 5-0, case number 10,959 has been taken under advisement. Now, what that means, there may be a decision made here later on this evening. You could stay if you would like, or you may call the office in the morning after 9 o'clock.
Okay.
Okay?
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Case number